For some of you who are joining us today, we started looking from the portion of scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 16. So the title, as you can see on top there, is Pressing On Towards the Goal of Maturity. Pressing on towards the goal of maturity. So last week, we were looking at the Apostle Paul. On the first, we began by the positive side, okay? I asked questions on top there to say, what do you do? What did you do? Actually, I began by saying, imagine for a few minutes of your past life, which makes us uncomfortable because we know where we are coming from. It's dark. And you know, we don't want to face the past. So we looked at that. And then I also asked to say, after thinking about the negative side, how do you feel? Okay. Then I flipped the coin by saying, think about now the positive side, about the things that you have achieved in the past, the things that makes you proud, besides the things that makes you ashamed. Think of the things that makes you proud, that makes you boast. Of course, that can make us smile a little bit because we know when we think, we'll be like, yeah, I remember, you know, that year I came out the best, you know, in that organization, in the company, at school, somewhere, this. So we begin to mention our achievements, okay? And so we came now to look at the Apostle Paul's life, that this is the man who was the Pharisee, the philosopher, the teacher of the law. This is the man who had all the knowledge and even had the zeal to persecute the Christians. Not just persecuting them, but killing them. So if you have men like the Apostle Paul and women, you can have a very powerful church. Because for them, once they believe something, whether it is wrong, it's go forward. So Paul, before he came to Christ, he believed to say, these who are following Christ, they are not doing the right thing. The only way to get rid of them is to kill them, to stone them. And he was a young man by the time Stephen was being stoned. And he's the one who was keeping their coats to say, don't be sweating, I'm here. Can you stretch forth your hands properly as you are stoning this man? He has to die. And he went out to even get the letters of permission from the authorities to give him access to go in other parts of the cities, towns, to arrest and persecute Christians. That was the Apostle Paul. But at one time, on his way, on the road to Damascus, we know the story, Acts chapter 9, that he met the owner of the church, Jesus, and he asked him to say, he didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? He said, so, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Meaning that when the church is being in trouble, when the children of God are being troubled, it means Jesus' heart also gets troubled. He identifies with us. Amen? And so, from there, we are going to see a dramatic and drastic turning point whereby the Apostle Paul, after 3 days, Ananias will be sent to pray for him, his eyes will open, and immediately, the guy will start preaching the gospel. And then you start going to the very churches. Whenever Christians saw him, they started running away to say, hey, the guy is here. And then he would tell them to say, no. I am no longer the person that you think I am. Now I am the follower of Jesus Christ. I'm here to declare the right way of the Lord. And you know, Christians sometimes, I was laughing, you know, I laugh most of the times. The guy tells them to say, no, I have repented. Now I'm one of you. Then they rejected him. They said, we don't trust you. You might have just developed a new technique of trying to be one of us. Meanwhile, it's the way of capturing a lot of us. So we looked at that. Now, this Paul is a man who is going to be known to write 3/4 of the New Testament among all the apostles. I was just trying to catch bases on the last week. So today, I want us to look at something. In line with the same, we looked at the identities. So we looked at the identity of the past. When we are not Christians, what identity do you carry? I gave examples of myself. I had nicknames that were not good because of the things that I was doing. People were calling me by that. And so the time came after I became the preacher, things have changed. Okay, so the new identity has come. And I talked about having the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Because on our own, we cannot be righteous. Now today, as we are still pressing on, I want to pose this question to say, as a Christian, what do you do when you pray to God desperately about something and then the answer does not come according to expectation? Do you remain faithful? Now I'm going to give you serious examples here. Brace yourselves. In the year 2008, I'm not trying to make anyone sad, but I'm just recording this reality. In the year 2008, I was already a preacher. I started preaching in 2005, as I've already said several times. So in the year 2008, I was a very zealous young man of God. Of course, I'm still young, but not as young as I was then. So I used to move in miracles. I used to move in power, you know. Pray for people. I still do, in Jesus' name. Pray for people. Things would happen. Now, the time came when I got challenged, 2008. I received a phone call that my niece was sick. So I rushed to go home from school. I was doing part-time that time. By the time I was reaching home, I found my niece 7 years old, the daughter to the firstborn in our family, Gertrude. Milanse was the name of my niece. She was sick, powerless. And then they knew that, oh, the pastor now has come. They had that confidence to say, hallelujah, the man of God is here. I held my niece. I started vibrating in prayer. As I was praying with all my power and strength, I could feel the body is getting caught. And so, we were... You see, in my country, even when you dial 911, for them to come, you have to forget. So, the best you can do is to find a nearby vehicle or a cab or something. You jump into, you go to the hospital or something. So, we organized a cab. The guy came as fast as he could. Got into the car. I was praying for my niece going to the hospital. And she died in my arms. By the time we were reaching, she was gone. I said, no. She hasn't died yet. I stretched my faith to the core. I said, Lord, I've prayed. There are people that have been in such situations whereby I remember one lady, she was almost dying. I went there, we prayed, and a miracle happened. She was back to normal. She's still living up to today. I said, I started counting the miracles. I said, Lord, remember that time. You used me to pray for so and so. You used me to do this. Let it be done on my knees. Prayer wasn't answered. That's how my niece died. Glory be to God. And so, at that point, I was thinking, I was like, am I still the prayerful warrior the people have known? You see, my faith was shaken. I said, my family respect me. My dad came to Christ through me and my mom and 8 siblings. All of them, even when they saw me coming, they had hope to say, he's here now. We prayed together. Nothing happened. My faith was shaken. And I was thinking, I was like, ah, I think maybe yeah. Haven't. Does God really answer? Why didn't he answer me? So I started blaming God. I said, no. At least you could have answered me. How will I preach to the people? How will I stand in confidence? Questions were being asked. And my family members, you know, it wasn't a very good moment. And, you know, those are memories that you never forget. But God kept on encouraging me to say, my grace is sufficient. I am the one who have power over life and death. Let it be. If I wanted, I could have brought a bat, but let it be. Amen. It was challenging. Can you imagine? Have you like, I know you have been thinking about so many things. I've been creating like a movie in your minds. You are like, how did it happen? That wasn't the only thing. Last thing. I want to bring other stuff again. The other thing that happened again, this time was my nephew. Okay? So, my immediate elder sister, Angelina, that was in 2014, the year I graduated from the seminary back in Zambia. So, when Mary, my wife, was expecting the twins, my immediate elder sister was also expecting the twins. Yeah, it's a family thing, so don't worry. Yeah, so what happened was, when my sister was about, I think, 6 months into 7 months, she went into labor and delivered two babies, the girl and the boy. And so the boy was, like, not strong, you know. Was in the hospital a little bit here and there, then they were discharged. And then they came home. He stayed for 6 days. Same thing. 2008, 2014. I was at work. I started receiving phone calls. Every time I receive, you know, phone calls almost at the same time from family members, maybe from more than two people I know, to say something is going on. Phone calls started coming. I had to get permission from my supervisor. I went home, found my family there. Same thing, prayed. The boy was turning yellow, you know, and we lost him. Just like that. Then I said, Lord, why? Twice! And that was, I was very afraid at that time, more than the way I was before on the first incident, because my wife was expecting twins as well. So I started imagining to say, this has happened to my sister. What is going to happen to my wife? You know? But God is good. Amen? Amen. We passed through it, and God continued to encourage me. And my faith has continued to move on. I didn't stop. The human part of me was saying, the prayers, sometimes they don't get answered. But I am the one who has seen the downside of life sometimes and the upside. I've seen miracles that takes place. You just pray. Pam! Something happens. And then I've seen that time of crisis. So the question is, what did you do when you pray and your prayer does not get answered? Do you continue? Do you quit? I know people that became atheists because they expected God to do something desperately and it did not happen. Immediately they changed their mind and went wild and said, no, it never works. If it was Job, what was he going to say? The Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Praise be to his holy name. Now, let's come back. There's a passage there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. This is the passage where the Apostle Paul, especially chapter 11, this is the passage where the Apostle Paul will narrate all the sufferings that he went through. And now in chapter 10, especially verse 7, there is something that is very interesting there. The Bible, verse 1 begins with something profound. He said that, I know a man 14 years ago who was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven, and he saw and heard things that cannot be told to men. The question is, who was that man? That was the Apostle Paul himself. And then you start explaining to say, among all the apostles, I had the privilege of going into paradise while I'm in the body. I had the privilege to go into paradise, into the third heaven, to experience the glory of God, the power of God, to see things that human eyes physically cannot see. Abundance of revelations I've experienced. But something happened. In order for God to make me humble, not to be proud of all the revelation, of all the profile that I had and everything, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. Now, every time you read scriptures like those, you begin to ask questions to say, how can God allow Satan to buffet, to torment his anointed apostle? Now, we know that this is true because this is the man who was seeing great visions, and it was revealed to him to say, it is my doing. Now, when we read Acts chapter, I think it's Acts chapter 20, we are going to hear that the Apostle Paul will be preaching during the night. And because he intended to go to another city, he preached for a long time, for long hours. Pray that I don't take long hours like the Apostle Paul. Because I feel that anointing, you know, coming up. So he preached for long hours. And in the midst of his teaching and preaching, a young man by the name of Eucritus started dozing and he fell, slammed himself on the ground and died instantly. People were afraid. The apostle said, do not be afraid. Just stood up, prayed for the boy, and he came back to life immediately. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? That's the power the man was carrying. This is the man who did extraordinary miracles. This is the man who was jailed and by the power of the praise and worship in the midst of the night. All the chains were broken, prison doors were opened. Yet they could not run away. They were just there. Amen. But this time, this kind of, it is called the thorn in the flesh, which was assigned, which was allowed by God, permitted by God. The Bible says that I prayed, I besought the Lord. I sought the Lord 3 times for him to take it away. But his answer was very simple, in a sentence. My grace is sufficient for you. For in your weaknesses, my power is made perfect. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel jump-started, you know, at that point. And I've forgotten about everything I was talking about earlier. Hallelujah. For in our weaknesses, his power is made perfect. Theologians debate about what kind of a thorn in the flesh was this. Others, they say maybe Paul was leaping or moving, you know, something was painful. Others say he had the challenge of blindness. You know, that was the problem. You know, so many things are ascribed. But one thing I know for sure is that he was talking about all the suffering in totality. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, God was answering him 3 times. Who else prayed 3 times about something? The Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel, right? Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane was praying when he began to sweat blood just before his crucifixion. He saw the gravity of the cross and he said, "Father, take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet not my will, but your will." There was silence. The Bible doesn't say that the Father said, "No, my grace." There he did mention. He went again, the second time, same prayer point. He went the third time, same prayer point. I know, Father was saying, "Don't worry, my son. The power has been provided. You go through it." Amen? Now, when you begin to fail to change the prayer point, even when the church and the prayer ministry, they are saying, "Let's pray about this." Do you know what happens when you are carrying a burden in your heart? The leader will say, "Okay, let's pray about so and so. Let's pray about my brother here." We'll start, "Father, in the name of Jesus, mention his name." All of the sudden, I'll divert to my own. "Oh, Lord, set me free." Hallelujah. Raka shataya, Baba. Hey. Pray. Jesus prayed 3 times so that the cross could be removed. But he said, "Let it not be my will." This is the flesh. The flesh is feeling it to be unbearable. But God said, "You have to go through it." It was allowed, and he did it. The Apostle Paul prayed also 3 times to say, "Lord, take this thing away." Whatever it was, whatever it was, take it away. The answer was simple. "My grace is sufficient for you." I came to tell us today that whatever it is which we've been going through, whatever we are experiencing, his grace is sufficient. Think of how heavy that burden has been over the years, or over the months, or over the days. But you've been moving forward. And sometimes you're even amazed at how energetic, you know, you are. There is that growth, there is that maturity, there is that understanding that continues to come in new dynamics and dimensions all the time. His grace is sufficient. Amen? Amen. So what do we do when our prayers are not answered? The answer is his grace is what? Sufficient. Are we getting that?
No.
We should mean it. Whenever you pray and you think that the answer hasn't come, just remember that his grace is sufficient. The same Paul said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said that, "For there is no temptation," even when it comes to temptation, For there is no temptation that will come to finish you off. God will always make a way out for you. Okay? What that means is God will not tempt you. Actually, that's let me retrieve that. God will not test you. The one who tempts is Satan. God tests. Okay? Because temptation comes with evil. And test, trials, comes with sweet. But God will also use the very evil that the enemy is doing for good. Amen? It had to take the Apostle Paul to pass through so much for him to be able to say that his grace is sufficient. For him to be able to say that, I know whom I've believed and I'm convinced that you keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. For him to say that, for we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who first loved us. His grace is sufficient. That heavy life burden you've been experiencing. You know what we do as Christians most of the times? Instead of asking God to say, Lord, what are you teaching me? I said the same thing last week. We usually ask the questions I was asking. Why, Lord? Why? Why? Why me? Actually, that's the very cross word. Why me? If you don't like your friend or your brother or your sister, why not him or her? That just reveals how dangerous we can be sometimes. We want to wish evil to happen or something bad to happen to others so that we can be free. Or when something bad is happening to some people and they are complaining, it gives us some little comfort to say, okay, I'm better off. I'm better off. Even when we are encouraging, it's just the name of, you know, trying to fulfill all righteousness of brotherhood and sisterhood. I know it shall be well, but you don't even mean it. Sometimes we tend to blame our friends, and especially in church, we blame leaders. Ah, no, there is no spirit in that church. Yeah, and even false prophets and prophetesses will begin to arise. Actually, God showed me the vision in that place. Ah, no, no, they are not Christians. The blame game will start coming. We should not be blaming others. We should be asking God, Lord, what is it that you want me to know in this? And I can assure you, at the end of it all, you are going to celebrate to say, Lord, I thank you because I had to pass through that. Amen? There are things that you've gone through and today you thank God because something. Last week I had time to talk about Joseph, to talk about David. All these great men, even the Apostle Paul himself, Jesus. I talked about the series of the apostles, you know, how they went through difficult lives and how they died. I even mentioned to say, we are not being even persecuted to an extent of shedding blood. Like they experienced, like others are experiencing even today. So we have no reason to run away from his presence in the name of troubles. Amen? So when tough time comes, we should not run, but we should face that issue. We ask questions, we pray about it, and we should be alert to hear that still voice that always says, Lord, I am tired. is sufficient. For in your weaknesses, my power is made perfect. Imagine if we were superheroes. All the time, we're just superheroes. Nothing is coming to hit us or to do anything. Imagine how life was going to be. We are going to be people who would care less about God, people who would care less about others, people would care less about family members or anything. Why? Because all is well. But the things that we go through, they make us depend on God all the time. That is maturity. Amen? To know that the things that I'm going through, they are making me to depend upon God. So when you are hit by something, imagine you are going this direction and God is leading you. Don't turn back to run, but run towards Him. Amen. Run towards God. I know it's difficult, but we have all experienced different difficulty stuff. But the grace is sufficient. And so this man now says something which Daniel put for me there in the last verse, that this is why, for Christ's sake. Verse 10. I delight in weaknesses, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It is only in the kingdom of God where weakness is the greatest strength. Did you get that? It is only where in the kingdom of God where weakness is the greatest strength. When you feel that you've lost it all, that's where the power is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's powerful, Brother Bill. Blessings. Hallelujah. I release the anointing upon you in Jesus' name. That's encouraging. Amen. Yeah, so in our weaknesses, that's where we become strong. There are so many examples we can draw about this personal in the Bible, everywhere. Weaknesses. In rejection. That's where the power is made perfect. Moses had to go through the series of events. Who would have thought that he would be called at the age of 80? He would be given an assignment to go and deliver the nation. 6 million people, go and get them. He started presenting his weaknesses. No, Lord, you know, I stammer, I don't speak properly. God said, no problem. That excuse, I got you. Aaron is there. You be his God. Do you know that scripture? You be like God to him. You will speak and then he will speak on your behalf. What a powerful connection. So Moses hears from God. He speaks in his stammering. And Aaron picks it and he announces it. He tried to give all the excuses. God said, don't worry. I'm going to use what seemed to be weak. Because in weakness, that's where my power is shown and glorified. Amen? So why am I saying all these things? The true identity must come out in our weaknesses, in our sufferings, in our challenges, in our sicknesses. There are some sicknesses that torments us. Sometimes we even feel ashamed to even share with others. We have kept it as a secret. Because, you know, when you share, people begin to look at you and say, ah, we thought they are Christians. See, that person is a Christian, but now, listen to what they are saying now. They are also going through issues. We need to share burdens to each other. Amen? Amen. Because in those weaknesses, the power of God is going to be revealed. So, let's not have that identity of our weaknesses, and then we wear it. Even as we are walking, we are looking at ourselves because of the things that is surrounding us, because of the challenges. Excuse me. So sorry about that. So, could we smile a little bit, please? Now scaring me, you see. Have I been speaking? Yeah, some smiles. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Sounds like English to me.
What?
It sounds like English to me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So, I want us to be encouraged. Children of God, let's mature. Maturity is when everyone is running away, you stand your ground. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you this. Can God boast about you and say that Satan is passing and God is like, hey, Satan, have you seen my faithful man or woman who stands by my word, who stands to defend my name at all cost? Can he say that to us, about us? Yeah. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Like the way he said to, about Job. Have you seen Job, a man who fears the Lord, a man who is blameless? A man who can start, can God boast about us? Sometimes I ask myself, I'm like, Lord, do you boast about me? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, can God boast about me? Because Job passed through the fire. And you see, just as the Apostle Paul said, that there is no trial that will come beyond your capacity. God knows. He's all-knowing. He knows the extent you can be stretched. He knows how far you can go to withstand the fire before he lifts you up there. He knows. So all of you have been going through all those challenges. Congratulations, because you are gallant warriors. Hallelujah. Yes, and I'm not saying this jokingly. I'm saying it. I mean it. You are powerful people, strong in faith. God is even boasting. He's like, have you seen my son, Jihon? Amen. Have you seen him? And he doesn't agree. He will always say, no. Then God said, okay, go. Go and try. Do whatever you want to do, but don't touch his life. The man went through fire. And then he was saying, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Praise be to his holy name. Now every time I think about that, I'm like, was that drama or it was reality? It was reality. Even you do the same. Amen? When we pray and the answers don't seem to come, let's not give up. Let's hold on. His great sister Phoebe. Hallelujah, Hephzibah. Praise God. That's powerful. Amen. His grace is sufficient. When you have prayed for that job and it doesn't come, His grace is what?
Sufficient.
When you've prayed for that marriage and nothing seemed to be working, His grace is what?
Sufficient.
When you've prayed for that sickness and it, you know, after you pray, that's when you feel as if now you're about to go to heaven. His grace is sufficient. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Yes. Real Christianity is to know the reality of sufferings and to know also how to face them. How to withstand them. That's what it means. Amen? That's what it means. You see, I become very passionate when I'm talking about these things because I've had some tests. I've tested here. And it's just on the surface. I haven't done any, at least I can boast. I haven't, like the Apostle Paul. I've not yet been whipped. I've not yet been flogged for the sake of Christ. I have not. In Acts chapter 14, the Bible says that Paul was stoned outside the city. The very stoning he was doing at first, he was also stoned, and then they left him thinking that he had died. Of course, I think he was even dead. When the disciples went and surrounded him, I'm sure the power of God hit him. He jumped back and said, "Hallelujah. They stoned me in this city. Let's go back and continue to preach the gospel." He understood that his grace is still sufficient. They meant to kill me, but the fact that I'm not dead yet, I still have an assignment. So that situation has not come to finish you up. It just came to build you up to the glory of His name. Amen. So, hold on. Stand firm. Stand firm. The time is coming when you are going to tell the story. Last week I mentioned to say, the problems that comes, the sufferings, the trials, they are the songs. They are our new songs that we write every day. I mentioned about David, that David, for him to have written so many psalms in the book of Psalms, all of them about issues that he was passing through. Amen? And we even use them. Every time we pass through fire, we remember, where was he crying? Oh, there. Hallelujah. We start also singing the same psalms. Let's write our own. Write your own. That is the. Those are the sermons. You see, being a preacher is very simple. It's very simple. Being a preacher, very simple. What is it that God has done in your life? Tell the people. That's the message. Amen? That's the testimony. Before the exegesis comes in, that one just comes to, you know, just comes to wrap up. But the real meat is in the reality. Okay? Because if I came and dropped all the Greek and Hebrew on you, you'd be just wondering, to say, ah, what's going on? What's the meaning of that? But if I speak about the real things that happens to us, you will relate. Amen. So, let's delight in such weaknesses. Let's rejoice. All I'm saying is that let's rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says that rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. This is the Apostle Paul, the man who was going through issues. I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice always. When you're in pain, you can cry at the same time rejoice. Amen? He knows your name. He has called you by your name. You are His. Isaiah 40. 40 what? 3? 40, 45. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. You are mine. 43. Praise God. I have called you by name. You are mine. In Jeremiah, he said that I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. What a mighty God we serve. And then in Isaiah, he says, I have called you by name. So when Mr. Mwanga and Mrs. Mwanga had this, Mwanga the third, and they called him by the name, they thought they were making that decision. They were fulfilling God's will. He knew me by name. He knows you by your name. There has never been a day when he forgot you. Even when you felt that you were in the deepest trouble and you felt as if his presence wasn't near you, he was right there with you. He's always there. Amen. You see, I can continue to talk about these things because I feel the power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Let's press on. In difficult times, let's press on. In good times, let's press on. In trying moments, let's press on. Let's press on. This is the true identity of a Christian. How will people know that you are a Christian? When you become Christ-like. How do you become Christ-like? What was the life of Christ? It was the life of rejection, the life of persecution, and eventually suffering, death, and glorification. Hallelujah. In John 14, he said that in this world, you will have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We forget that. We forget. Take heart. He has overcome. Amen. The Lord bless us. In Jesus' name.